Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. Cynthia Hyatt is a relationship expert, executive consultant, and life management coach. Cynthia Hyatt uses her 30 years of experience as a licensed psychotherapist to now offer in-office or concierge services through executive life coaching, consulting, and image management in order to help you be your own best version. Cynthia also specializes in speaking to groups worldwide about how to be successful in relationships, as well as artfully handling life's challenges. She has had many opportunities to present numerous educational seminars and lectures on a variety of motivational, inspirational, and mental health topics around the world. Please take a moment to visit her website at CynthiaHyatt.com. That's Cynthia, H-I-E-T-T.com. Her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week, as well as all social media platforms. You can hear this show as a podcast on iTunes and many other podcast services. Follow her on Facebook and Instagram. Now, with today's fresh insight, here's Cynthia Hyatt.
Well, good afternoon. I'm always so grateful and thankful that you tune into the show and that you also let your friends and family know about the show as well. And so today I want to really kind of hone in on the issue of addictions. And I titled this show, Don't Judge the Addict. And we're going to talk about what that means. And the first thing, just to start this off, when we say don't judge the addict, what we're saying is, hey, I don't know what's going on inside that person. I don't know why they're resorting to this. I don't know why they're not coming out of it or want to be helped or whatever it is. So I don't want you to judge the addiction. I want you to judge the behaviors, because that's the thing that we actually can help someone do, is if we talk to them about behaviors and not shame them about the addiction and say, you know, the behaviors might be making the addiction even stronger and also causing you maybe to feel less than. So what does the Bible say about addictions? And what is an addiction versus what is dependence? So I want to explain the difference between dependence and abuse and what the Bible is saying about judging. And it says very clearly, we are not to judge others or ourselves. And Judas, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were the one that got in trouble with God. So they may have been saying things that are relevant and should be, could be, would be. However, it's the way that people go about things that we have to be careful about. And that doesn't mean that we accept bad behavior. That doesn't help anyone be the best version of themselves. So we're also going to talk about the difference between an excuse and an explanation, because this is really helpful for anyone that's struggling with any kind of habit, any kind of addiction, any kind of compulsive tendencies, to be able to say, you know, I can't give an excuse for this. This is not even excusable. This is wrong. It's bad. It's hard on me, hard on my family, hard on the world, hard on my job, hard on my kids, right? So we're not going to say that you're allowed to have an excuse. What we are going to say is, how are we going to understand the explanation of your behavior? Now, why would that be so relevant? See, the more that you start to understand people, the more that you get to know them, the more you hear the backstory, the more you find out about maybe the intricacies of their body and their biology and how they're created, it helps us to say, okay, those are some really important explanations, but I'm not going to support all of the different addictions simply because you didn't know about it, or you didn't know you had a proclivity for it, or you didn't know it was as bad as it was, right? So I want you to think about the difference between an excuse and an explanation. If someone's trying to explain to you the hardship if they're trying to explain to you the history that they have, what created, you know, this tendency to be dabbling in all kinds of things that are very, very, you know, addictive. So you want to be able to say, you know, I'm not judging this person, but I am going to judge what happens to them if they continue to do what they're doing. And so that's the difference between an excuse and an explanation. See, I tell people many times, when I was in college, I smoked. And I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I've said this so many times on this show. I love cigarettes. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing. Now, I haven't had a cigarette since 1985. That's when I quit. I finished college up at NAU. I drove home to Phoenix, and I knew I had to quit. If I didn't, I'd be smoking the rest of my life. And I also knew that it would put me in a different position with people. And so maybe people that I wanted to endeavor to know might not even look at me if I had a cigarette in my hand. That doesn't mean they're necessarily being judgmental in a negative way. That's saying to me, hey, I'm probably not going to accept that. I don't want to live with that. And I don't have to live with that. So let's think about more about this. What does the Bible say about judging? So it says we are not to judge others. We're not to judge ourselves. Think about Judas, right? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they were governing things. And there's nothing wrong with having governing. I mean, we need that. But it's the shaming of the person that is going to get God really upset. So the difference between the excuse and trying to say that it's okay for me to do these harmful things, these bad things, these uncomfortable things, that's what we're talking about. So when we want to ask someone, well, explain to me how you got here. What happened? Do you know where it comes from? Do you understand why it's so compelling for you? So when we think about addictions and what creates them, what causes addictions, we have the biggies here. We have trauma. Trauma is a big one that starts addictions because the person doesn't know how to regulate their internal world so that they can feel safe and feel good about themselves. So trauma, chronic pain. So if you've known anyone that lives with chronic pain, it would be really understandable why they would want to be doing narcotics, right? So when I talk to Christians about narcotics, I say, you know, I'm not against you doing a narcotic so that you can actually live your life. What I don't want you to do is stop finding ways to be healthy because you have this opportunity to do it in a very, very dangerous, negative way. So trauma and chronic pain are very important things for us to look at to be able to say, hey, how can we help this person? What are some other things that may be available that when they first started, they didn't even know these were possible? So the next one is what creates and causes addictions? Genetics. So I just, you know, told you about me smoking cigarettes and how much I loved smoking cigarettes. And I found out that my adoptive family, okay, there's no addictions at all. Now, wouldn't that be smart for God to place me in that family, right? And so that helped me. And it also helped me to find out about my family that is genetically my family. They had all kinds of problems with trauma and addictions. And so it doesn't give me an excuse. It's really good information for me to say to myself, I am not going to judge myself. If I have this proclivity, I mean, this is true. If I walk by somebody that's smoking a cigarette, I can still go, wow, I love that smell. Now that tells me that this is a genetic issue. It just fits hand in glove. But that doesn't mean it's okay to do. And it doesn't mean I'm going to live my life justifying it because somehow that's the way that my body works. This is what we want to think about. Genetics are very important to be able to understand that, hey, when I found out about my biological father, I look so like him. And this is the first time in my life I ever looked like somebody. I looked like him. I did the same things musically that he did. He wrote music. He was a singer. He worked with Stevie Wonder. And so this is where I go, okay, genetics is super important. And then the next one, that we recognize what can cause an addiction, but using an explanation for it, what about severe injury? Do you know someone that was, you know, maybe in a car wreck, and they are now, from the hips down, there's no feeling? Do you know someone that has been harmed in the head, like their head has been hit, and it's not thinking the way that it used to, and they have to learn and relearn how to adjust those neurotransmitters and how to make sure that they can have a mind that works for them? So we also have anxiety disorders and depression. And this is a big one when it comes to addictions. And we've talked on this show a lot about that. But the anxiety disorders and the depression, I want you to understand that this time in history is one of the really revelatory times, because we have the opportunity to have substances that help us with anxiety and depression. But we have to decide if we're going to do it correctly. Because if we don't, then we're going to lack a lot of coping skills. And we're going to go back to the thing that made us feel better in the moment. And we're going to make all kinds of excuses for why I need to keep doing that. And I need to keep all these medications going. I need whatever it is that you're talking yourself in or out of. It's very important to say, hey, what if I looked up some coping skills that actually gives me a choice about how compelling the addiction is? I might be able to actually say, you know what? I'm going to try a new thing. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take some time. But I'm going to feel better about me, because I'm not just abdicating to any kind of substance so that I feel better. Because that kind of stuff, it works its way into our heart, our mind, our soul. And we know that there's something that's not right and we shouldn't be doing it. And we end up then being very, very, what am I trying to say? That this is where the enemy really comes in, because he wants to shame us and he gives us a way out. So we want to be very careful to recognize, hey, I might need to learn some new coping skills for my own benefit and for the people that love me very much. So thank you for listening, and we are going into the next segment. I'm Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Conversations with Cynthia. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And I really appreciate all that you have been just texting and writing on Instagram and all the different available places about the show. It really is encouraging for me. And you always can reach me at cynthiahyatt.com. And if you want me to talk about something specifically, I will be very welcome to looking at it and seeing if it's something I can do. So we're talking about addictions today. And the last segment that we were in, which was the first one, is what does the Bible say about addictions? And the big thing that I wanted to really focus on is the difference between an addiction and a dependence. So think about that. Would you say to the person, that is struggling with a disease, would you say to them, yeah, but you know, that's a substance, I don't think you should be using it, and so we're gonna take that from them? Or are we going to let the doctor say, we're so fortunate that we have these because this can help bring some health back to you if we do it correctly? So we want to recognize the difference between the dependence on something, because dependency, it's like I'm dependent on water, right? I'm dependent on sleep. So we're dependent on a lot of things. And what we want to be saying to ourselves is, I'm not going to judge someone because they're dependent on something. Now, if it's causing them to be a derelict, if it's causing them to break the law, if it's causing them to harm other people, well, then of course we're not going to help that. But think about the people, you know, that have all kinds of different struggles that their body is just not able to help them with. and why it's so nice that we have so many new things that can help all of us be the best version of ourselves. And this is where I want to continue to remind you that there are things that can create addictions versus being born with that tendency. And so either way, you have to recognize that I'm in charge of my own body. I'm in charge of my own mind and what I think. I'm in charge of what I do. And so regardless of what maybe causes me not to do it well, that's never an excuse. It doesn't mean that I have to be perfect. It just means I need to stop not trying. Because that's the biggest thing, is when I work with people that struggle with these things, and they say, I'm just done, it's not working, blah, blah, blah. I say, well, what are you going to do the rest of your life? I mean, you have the rest of your life to see if you can overcome this. Wouldn't that be a healthier way to think, or helpful for your friends and family? Wouldn't that be a way to honor God, to just say, okay, I've got this problem, I'm not going to shame myself for it, and I'm going to figure out if I can ameliorate it in some way, if I can lessen it, if I can work with it, if I can even be healed from it. But we have to be willing to do those ways of thinking. So this is what I want you to also remind yourself is, when we think about a dependency that turns into an addiction, I want you to recognize that typically people that are having medical addictions, I would not necessarily shame them for that, because sometimes we don't know what the doctors are doing, and we don't know how much the doctor is giving. We also don't know what the patient is telling the doctor. So we have to be really, really careful about those things. And I want you to ask yourself, you know, what does the Bible mean when it says that we're not to judge others? So what does the Bible mean by that? Well, here's what Jesus said. Jesus commanded us not to judge others. And that is highly quoted. And many times it's almost invariably quoted in complete disregard for its context here. See, when Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged, many people are using that verse in an attempt to silence critics. See, interpreting Jesus' meaning as, you don't have the right to tell me I'm wrong, That's you're talking to God. But taken in isolation, Jesus commands us, do not judge. And this precludes also negative assessments of people. So, however, there is much more to the passage than the three words of do not judge. I just want you to remind yourself, if I'm getting emotional about the judgment I'm creating, I'm probably needing to look at that. The more logical I am, that tells me I'm on the right path. Because the emotion part of me can really cause me to go off track, which means I either avoid the person, I shame the person, I ignore the person, right? And so this is where the Bible commands that we're not to judge others. And it doesn't mean we don't show discernment. It just says, Jesus says, do not judge. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. And this is what God is saying very clearly. If you have seen, if you have attempted to intervene, and they're not interested in changing the habit at all, it doesn't mean you shame them and you hate them. It means you walk away. You say, okay, this is their life. They're allowed to live their life however they want to live their life. I'm sad that they would do it this way. I think there's more to them than that. And so this is where we say, how are we to discern who are the dogs and the pigs and the false prophets? See, unless we have the ability to make a judgment, you know, a judgment call on doctrines and deeds, Jesus is giving us permission to tell right from wrong. There's nothing wrong with talking about, hey, this is right, this is wrong. We all know that. What we don't do is shame the person. So the Bible also commands that we're not to judge others, and not as a mean of actions or like being equally moral, or that somehow truth is relative. See, the Bible is clearly teaching that truth is subjective. And I don't mean that truth changes. What I'm saying is it's able to adjust to your life and what you're doing and how you're doing it and what God is wanting to change. And so the Bible is clear about truth. It's inseparable from God's character. So this is where we have to remind ourselves, anything that contradicts the truth is a lie. Anything that contradicts the truth is a lie. And so to call something a lie is to pass judgment. So to call adultery or murder a sin is likewise to pass judgment. But it also agrees with God. Can I just come in with a new statement? Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to stop. Okay, I'll start here. All right, so as we're talking about the idea of not to judge, I want you to think about that Jesus gives a direct command to judge. When he says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. That means that we have to know the person. Now, it doesn't mean that if I see somebody beating somebody up on the street, that I'm going to think that that's okay, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the person was harming them or the other person was harming the other person. And so we have to be careful about judging what we are seeing. Now, we can say something's wrong in that. If they're beating each other up, so that's wrong. But judging each person that is doing it is really not my place unless I get to know them, because that becomes superficial judgment. And superficial judgment is wrong. It's passing judgment on someone based solely on their appearances, and it is sinful. So thank you for listening, and I hope that you join us in the next session. And this is So just join us in the next session as we talk more about what we do with addictions. Well, welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. So thankful that you are listening. And we are talking today about addictions. And really how addictions are very slippery. And we all can have a tendency toward it in some way or another. But some of us also have genetics that cause us to also do that more promptly than maybe other people would do. And so the word addiction has some basic meanings, but the first one is to cause someone to become physiologically or psychologically dependent on a habit-forming substance. So when I have people in my office that say, you know, they have a habit of saying these words, okay, I don't say that that would be necessarily an addiction. If they don't know how to express themselves, we would want to work on that. So I want you to think about the second definition of addiction is to occupy oneself with or involve oneself in something habitually or compulsively. So when I talk to people about me smoking, it was very compulsive. It was very difficult for me to quit. And it's a miracle, actually, that I did. And like I said in the last segment, I have family, biological family, that they all smoked. And so this is where we want to recognize that we don't want to judge the person. We certainly judge the behavior. Now, when we do judge the person, it has to be if we have already contacted them, talked with them, offered them ways to change, holding them accountable if they'll let us. But at some point, you have to also be willing to say, God gives us free will. So if they're doing it and I don't understand it, I still need to accept it. Now, the problem that occurs when this happens, if I have to accept something that someone is doing that goes against my own value system, that I think is really bad, outrageous, harmful, scary, whatever it is. See, when I do that, I have to make sure that I'm recognizing that it's still up to them. See, I can help them all I want. I can encourage them. I can tell them stories. I can, whatever it is. But they still have to make the decision about whether or not they are going to change their life. Because we know we can't have both. And that's the hardest thing many times for us as humans. We want to have everything. And so I have to remind myself, hey, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do. But you're not necessarily allowed to choose the consequences. And many times the consequences are much bigger than we ever thought. So when we're talking about these behaviors, I say, you know, how do I know then that the behavior maybe is unhealthy, sinful, or wrong? Well, first and foremost, you say to yourself, does it break God's law? So when we think about sexual addictions, you know, this is not necessarily life-threatening unless there's harm going with it. And so this is where we say to ourselves, okay, there's a lot of different things that I can addict to or that I can clasp onto. But this is what we want to be careful with. We don't want to use this in a maladaptive way. See, many times coping with another problem makes someone have a new problem. And so it's worse for the user, and as well as the user's relatives and associates. So the person that is struggling with this has to know that even though I feel like it's valid, justified, an addiction is never healthy. And there needs to be the willingness to step up and say, I need to learn a new way. So we also know that if it's maladaptive, if it's an addiction, there's a pattern to the use. And see, the repetition of this, the repetition of the forms of this is a predictable habit pattern. So now what we're seeing is, well, of course they do that. They always do that. And this is where we have to say to ourselves, where are my boundaries going to be? Because I can't accept this. Or I can accept it, but I can't be in relationship with this person. And so you have to also recognize when we're deciding if something is an addiction, the effects are clinically important. So this is where we have to say to ourselves, well, what else is going on? Maybe they have some ADHD. Maybe they have chronic pain. All kinds of things that need to be taken into consideration. But the use is what we want to really focus on and recognize. Is it causing more distress or more impairment? So is the solution becoming a bigger problem? And this is why it's really tough because, you know, nobody wants to be an addict, really and truly. It's really not a good life, and it's hard and it's scary and it's embarrassing. So we have to recognize that people don't choose addictions because they're so excited to do it. You know, you don't have somebody say, oh, I can't wait to get my addiction started, right? So this is where we want to recognize that I don't know everything about this person. So I can judge the behaviors, but I'm not going to judge their heart. So this is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. Join me in the next segment, the last one, as we continue to talk about relationships and addictions. Well, good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in. If you're just now tuning in, this is Conversations with Cynthia, and today we are talking about the issue of judgment and what that means biblically, and we are talking about why we might need to judge things. And so it kind of goes both ways. It doesn't mean that God is saying you're not to judge. I mean, I need to judge whether or not the gas tank is going to get me to where I need to go, right? So the judgment piece is about assuming something negative about the person. And that's where you have to say, you know, unless I know the person, excuse me, unless I know them, I really can't judge them. I don't know their circumstances. And so Jesus commanded people not to judge others. However, he also says, do not judge or you will be judged. But he also says, you don't have the right to tell me I'm wrong. Now that seems kind of contradictory. But it's taken in isolation. See, Jesus commanding, do not judge, does indeed seem to preclude all those negative assessments. However, there is much more to the passage than those three words. And so the Bible is commanding that we not judge others. It doesn't mean we don't show discernment. And it doesn't mean that we should just follow along with the person and say, well, I hope they get better. And I love that the verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, and it says, he says, how do we discern who are the dogs and the pigs, right? Because the original verse is, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. And I must say this verse so many times in my sessions, because this is one of the verses that can set you free to recognize, I'm not harming this person by setting a boundary and saying, I can't be in relationship with you anymore. Your lifestyle is hurting me. And this is where, you know, Jesus talks about, hey, watch for false prophets. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And so when we are asking about how to discern between dogs and pigs, we add the false prophets. So unless we have the ability to make a judgment call on doctrines and deeds, Jesus is giving us permission to tell right from wrong, that I don't need to justify what I know is true. And so I can say to the person, you know, you're tangling up a lot of this. The bottom line is this. If you don't like the bottom line, we probably can't talk about it. And so the Bible commands that we don't judge others, but it doesn't mean that all the actions are equally moral or that truth is somehow relative. So I remind people that, hey, the context I'm in, whatever the behavior is, that might trip up somebody else, but it's not a problem for me. I need to know me. So I'll give you another example about the smoking. This was about 2 years ago. And I have an office in Phoenix and I have an office in Scottsdale. So I'm in my Phoenix office and I'm walking into the building and there was a person with a cigarette, which was unusual because I don't see very many people smoking these days. So I was like, wow, somebody's smoking. And so I walked through the smoke and I'm telling you, my brain immediately went, oh, yes. Okay. And this has been, I quit in 1985, and my brain still remembers the feelings it had of smoking a cigarette. So this is why we want to be careful. It's not judging. I'm not going to beat myself up. I am going to be on my own side, and I'm going to make sure that I'm helping myself, that if I want to do something I know is not healthy for me, I have to be able to say to myself, okay, if I need some help, if I need someone to talk me out of this, I'm going to do it. I can still do it if I want to do it. Nobody can make me do anything. But I can elicit some help. And so this is where the Bible is talking about not judging others. It doesn't mean all the actions are equally moral or that truth is somehow relative. And one of the things that has helped me more than anything when it comes to understanding or at least knowing God to a certain degree, is that the issue that God is talking about is wanting to make sure that we're not, that we don't think that all actions are equally moral or that truth is somehow relative. And one of the things that helped me more than anything was the verse in the Bible that says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if you want to know the truth, God wants to give it to you in abundance. But lots of times we might know what is true, but we don't really want to do what we know truth is telling us. And this is when we have different problems with, wait a minute, now in our society we have this truth is relative thing. I got to tell you, truth is really upset about that because truth is not relative. Truth is either truth or it's not. So when we start messing with that, what we're doing is giving ourselves permission to open up some loopholes so that we can do what we know we should not be doing. And this is very important when you are considering what happens with people that are watching you. See, I knew for me, I was ordained and I was a licensed, an LPC, a licensed practical therapist. You know, then I went into a lot of church work, and I knew at that point, wow, what would have happened if God wanting me to walk through those doors, if I tried to do it with a cigarette in my hand? It doesn't connect. It doesn't go together. And God is very clear on that. And it wasn't like him being mad at me. He's just saying, Cynthia, you have a choice. What do you want to do? What kind of life do you want to have? Who are the people that you want to be interacting with? You have a choice. But many of those choices mean I can't do it all and I can't have all of it. And so this is why we understand that morality and truth, right, is relative. Now, truth is always truth, but it's how we interpret it, obviously. And many times we have to ask God to make sure that we're not demeaning truth. And so we know that things are objective. We know, though, that truth is not inseparable from God. And this is where we have to be a little bit, I don't know, maybe grown up about it, and say to ourselves, who's going to parent me? God is saying, you can do anything you want. It's free. You have complete freedom. But what you can't choose is always the outcome. And so God is wanting you to recognize that if you do it in His way, you're going to love your life. If you don't, if you be your own God, then you're going to be held accountable for what you have done. Otherwise, God is saying, hey, you're learning. I want you to learn. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You're going to know that, wow, that was stupid. Why did I do that? I hope nobody knows about it. God knows all of those things. What He is more interested in is who you are and the kind of person that He is wanting you to be. That when He created you in your mother's womb, He had an idea about you. And He also knows when women are pregnant that there's a lot of stuff that goes into that mix. So it's kind of like, you know, you think about, you know, baking a cake, right? Well, there's a lot of ingredients that go into it. So God put a ton of ingredients into you when He created you. And then He gave the last ingredient, which is free will. So you have free will as to how you do the life God gave you. You can say no to yourself. You can say yes to yourself. You can say wait. And that's a really helpful word to use. When I'm in kind of like, I don't know if this is right, it's not feeling right, then I can say to myself, maybe I need to wait. If I don't want to wait, then I might ask myself, why are you not wanting to wait? Why are you going to rush into this? And this is where we want to make sure that we are doing the same things that Jesus is attempting to do and had attempted while He was here. And that is, you don't judge the addict. Now, I can judge my behaviors, but I'm not going to judge my heart and say I'm a bad person because I liked smoking. What I can say is I grew up and had some wisdom and I don't do that anymore. And that's a very important process for you to be learning how to judge yourself so that the judgment is for your benefit. It's a part of you that says, I don't know if this is a good idea. I think we might want to stop and think. And this is when we recognize, wow, that's the adult part of me. The adult part of me is saying, yeah, can we just think about that a little bit? How much time and effort do we want to put into this? Do we want to come back to it or do we want to keep doing it? So when we think about the difference between dependence and abuse, dependence can still turn into abuse. We have many people that have had major surgeries, that have had been very harmed in auto accidents, whatever it is, and they choose poorly and they become then addicted to the very thing that was supposed to be helping them heal so they can go on and do the life that God has asked them to do and that God wants them to do. So this is where it's very important for you to be able to say to yourself, okay, Jesus is commanding me not to judge others, but it doesn't mean we don't judge behaviors. See, we do many things that are stupid and God understands this. So what we want to do is say, hey, I just need to be the best version of me in the way that I know God is asking me to be. I'm not going to judge myself relentlessly and throw myself, you know, out of the bus and be mean to myself. That doesn't help me do anything. I'm going to be kind because God is kind. And I'm going to make sure that, hey, is this going to help me? And if it helps me, then it's probably going to help some other people. So if I make a decision to be kind to me, to judge my thoughts, my behaviors, and to recognize that I'm in control of that, the same way that we judge whether or not we should go through the stoplight. You know, wow, it turned yellow. Should we keep going or should we stop? That's a judgment call. So that doesn't mean that the stoplight is bad. It means that we have to judge what is in our own best interest. And this is part of being a healthy adult. So when Jesus commanded people not to judge others, he was not saying that we don't judge behaviors, because we don't know what's going on in the person. You know, I work with people day after day, hour after hour. I get to know them very well. They still can do some things that shock and surprise me, good or bad. So humans, you have to remind yourself, humans are a risk. And thankfully, God risked on us. And he wants to risk on us. So I want you to take the risk of being the best version you can be. And to know that you're a one-time occurring person, that nobody can do as great as you can. Nobody can do as bad as you can. It's always going to have the fingerprint of you. And this is why we want to be very careful when we're saying, hey, I got to make some good choices here. I only get one life, and I want this life to have meant something. And I want it to be a life that after I'm gone, people learn from it, and they learn to not to do something. And this is going to be very helpful in terms of making your life seem meaningful and causing your life to feel like, hey, I do have a point for being on this earth. There is something God is asking me to do. So this is Conversations with Cynthia. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will talk to you next week.
We hope this past hour has been encouraging, motivating, and inspiring to you. The messages and teachings shared during the show are given as a way to reach you, the listener, with ideas and insights on how you may not only improve your life, but have more successful and meaningful relationships as you become the best version of you. Cynthia is available as a keynote speaker or guest speaker for your corporate or spiritual events. Cynthia is able to customize a message for any audience attending a meeting, retreat, or conference. In addition to this, she oftentimes partners her messages with music, as she is a singer and musician. Please contact her through her website at cynthiahyatt.com. If you missed any part of this program, you can download the most current show from her website at cynthiahyatt.com or hear a replay on your favorite podcast server. Please take a moment to visit her Facebook page at Cynthia Hyatt Incorporated and leave your ideas and comments about today's show. Now, be your own best version.